Our theme for this month is, with God we can fortify our faith. In connection with that, I want to ask the question to develop the lesson around asking, how firm is your foundation? You and I need to understand that we look at life, and the way that we look at life forms the very foundation of the decisions that we make. Look at Psalms 146. Here's a man who's after God's own heart. And it doesn't take much reading of Psalms 146 to come to a realization that the thing that was foremost in David's mind was praising God. Over and over in the early verses of this psalm, he says, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And that's why you're here today, isn't it? In order that we may bring glory and honor and that we might praise God Almighty. But what's the reason for it? Well, David gives that whenever he talks about in verse 1 and verse 2 that my soul is involved in praising the Lord as long as I live. He had a foundational part of his life that says, here's what governs my life. That is, I'm going to praise God as long as I live on this earth. This is going to be adamant in my life. David then looks at those other individuals who might impose their will upon the will of those who are trying to follow God, or those other individuals in whom mankind might have more trust than the God of heaven. And he says, think about these princes. Think about these rulers that are there. And you and I need to understand that whenever they die, they've given you all the help they can. But our God is an eternal God who keeps truth forever and ever. And so verse 5 says, here's the blessed person. Here's the person that is happy. And think about how our nation longs for happiness. It does everything it can to try to find out the meaning of life and to find the joy of life. And David says, here is that person who is happy. Happy is that individual who has the God of Jacob as his hope. And happy is that individual who serves a God whose truths abide forever and ever. And so those very truths that we're going to try to emphasize this morning, not necessarily specific truths, but in a general way to talk about the choices that you've made built upon the very words of God are built upon that. And that is, it is God who has spoken. And that's the firmness of the foundation that we have. Think about the fact, by way of introduction, that all of us have core values. Somebody in an economic world says, well, what do you think about buying this car as opposed to that car? What about buying this house as opposed to that house? What about taking this item that's on sale? Should I buy it or should I not buy it? And there are values that we have. There are core values that we have. And there are those core values that we have spiritually that manifest themselves in so many ways. How we treat others is determined by the core values that we have. You think of that individual who believes that if he will kill an unbeliever, that there will be a bliss that awaits him on the other side of so many virgins awaiting him to bring him joy once he gives his life. That's a core value. There are individuals that are part of that religion who will take their own children and offer them as sacrifices, putting a bomb in a blanket with a little baby and walking into a marketplace and setting off that bomb to destroy individuals. Core values. And how you treat others. Whether you put others ahead of you or put your own wishes ahead of them. How do you respond? One of the tragedies of our society is this matter of self-love and the fact that individuals live self-centered lives. That's a core value in a marriage. The kind of marriage that you have is oftentimes a reflection of how selfish you are and how much you long to have your own way in relationship to that. That's a core value that is there. And then there are those priorities in life. We just mentioned about those who would give their lives for what they believe, but the priorities in life. Why are you here on this earth? Why were you born? And when you get to the end of your life, what above every other thing is the thing that you will have sought to have accomplished? And how do you measure the success of your life? What are your priorities in life? That's a core value. Now, it's obvious the Bible gives us both of these, treatment of others and gives us the priorities in life. But there are so many in the world who do not have those core values. What's your purpose in living on this earth? In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, as it were, examines where happiness and wisdom is to be found. And had all of that money, and he built massive buildings that would honor his name. But when he got to the end of building those pyramids that some king in Egypt might have built, when he got to the end of it, what do you have? What have you accomplished? You think about your own life. And so Solomon, when he gets to the end of that book, says, here's the conclusion. Not finding pleasure in the world, pleasure in the flesh, pleasure in material things. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandment. And leaving out the word duties, because it's not found in the original text, for this is the whole of man. That's what life is all about. You and I hope, treasure the values that we have. But we need to understand the foundation on which those values become ours. Every society has core values. Whether you talk about a school situation, whether you talk about a gardening club, whether you talk about a neighborhood association, has its core values. What do you want this neighborhood to look like? You understand that. Those who live in condos or under a homeowners association. You know what? You know those core values that are there. But not only does all of society have core values, we ourselves individually have core values. And so we ask, what are your core values this morning? And where do those values come from? There are several sources of foundational truths. Where are these core values? In the world here, in America, in South Florida, there are people whose values are so different from our values. Where do those core values come from? Well, in a generic way, there's only three sources. I either invent them myself, and I decide how I will treat others, and I decide what are the priorities in my life, and I will decide the definition of happiness. Or I will look to others on the outside. I will look to see what culture has to say about it, or some learned individual. And the third aspect, pardon me, are values that come out of religion. And I almost put the word Christianity there, but it's larger than that. And you think about the Islamic religion or the Hindu religion. That's where many of the values come from. But let's talk about each of these in a more specific nature. You and I need to understand that the Supreme Court and the government does not give us the source of our values. We're living in a day and an age, and in the last few weeks we've seen evidence of this. When those who rule our land and make judgments about things that involve our lifestyle cannot even decide what a marriage is. Think about how many people in America have felt justified because of the ruling of a Supreme Court as though it's given them license. It may be that the people in the workplace have sort of smiled at you and thought you were in a real dilemma. Because now, well, I hope now you understand the truth about all of these matters. But stop and think about it for a moment. Look at history. Has government been the source of deciding what values really amount to things and have substance in this life? We could talk about the Caesars and their punishment of Christians. Those enemies of Christianity who with governmental authority would come in a house or a building where the church was meeting and board up the doors and the windows and set that building on a fire. The government tried to do that. Is that what's right? Is that the very way we determine what's right and what's wrong? Think about the history of Israel. You look at those the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, those 38 kings that are there, 38 kings. They're the rulers. They're the one who's setting the values and setting the spiritual tone. And of those 38 rulers, only 4 of them are righteous. Are we really going to let the government decide what values we have? You think about the slaughter of the Jews by Hitler. Governmentally approved. You think about the things that are transpiring in around this world. You and I need to understand that righteousness is not determined by government. The kind of movies, the kind of television programs that you watch, are not to be determined solely on the basis of some government-approved accounting and a regulation of saying, well, this audience or this movie is suitable for all people who are 13 years of age or not 13 years of age, as though something happens. When you're at 12 months and 364 days, it'll destroy you if you walk into that movie. But now the government says, happy birthday, now. And we talk about adult beverages. And we talk about drinking at age 21. As though all of a sudden, when you're 20 years of age and 364 days old, happy birthday. Now then, it's all right for you to do this. How on earth did we ever buy into this idea that the government is that which decides what's right and what's wrong? That is not the core value. That's not the source of the value that matters to us. And then there are those who follow the cultural norms. And generally, that's the larger multitude because they just do it without thinking. Most individuals have given very little serious thought to their core values. And just whatever there is in society, whatever's happening in the lifestyle of those who are at school, whatever's happening in the neighborhood, whatever is happening in the workplace, whatever is happening in the marriages of those around us, well, that's just the norm. That's the way it ought to be. Cultural values. Think about the destruction of the home and how in this land the sanctity of marriage has become a matter of mockery. Those of us who are older can remember when divorce was almost unknown. I was there right after Noah came out of the ark. And I can remember when I was a young person knowing only one divorced person on this earth. Is that mind-boggling? You'd think, well, that had to be right after the days of Noah, but in my lifetime, culture has changed. And that's what's happening in America. I don't know if you're aware of the pro-marriage rally that was held in Germany just within the last few days. And there were those individuals who were so much in favor of a same-sex marriage. that they threw human excrement on those who were rallying, trying to defend the godliness and the sanctity of marriage. They took the pages of the Bible and wiped themselves and crumpled up that paper and threw them. That's a cultural response. And the fact that that shocks us and we just cannot believe that that's happened. Well, that is what is happening. And the world is blindly following cultural aspects of that. When he was on the cross, there were those individuals who were vocal at the foot of the cross. And there they were, actively trying to destroy the impact of Jesus. But the Bible talked about those who passed by, looked up, and saw him. That's what's happened in America culturally. You and I have arrived at the point that if the sway of the community is, let him be crucified, let him be crucified. I'll walk by, I don't get overly involved in any of this. I'll just be a matter of indifference. But my very indifference makes me a part of the acceptance of that in our culture. That's not the foundation on which our lives is built. Then I had trouble titling the next. That is, following human philosophers. Where do core values come from? Well, could we talk about Oprah Winfrey? Could we talk about Dr. Phil? Could we talk about the impact of the media that comes out of Hollywood and movies and television as though some individual, because she may have a beautiful body and will expose it more readily than others, have any wisdom at all about expressing the values of our society? And yet the very media in which we live highlights the lifestyle and the values of those who are the ungodly, who really have no understanding at all. Human philosophers. You stop and recognize the fact that whenever you have those matter of human philosophies, that they get in our ways because they're constantly changing. 25 years ago, those who now openly are pushing the gay agenda, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, when the political winds were blowing in the other direction, embraced the very values that we have today. What are they going to embrace next? How flexible are the core values that you and I have? How firm is our foundation in relationship to this? And as we try to make decisions based upon core values, you need to understand that some individual who has gained notoriety because of money, because of some athletic ability, because of something that he may have accomplished in life, does not mean at all he understands any more about life than a person who has a third grade education who knows God. Isn't it amazing that while a mother of a 7 or 8 year old child can identify what obscenity is, the Supreme Court cannot do it? Human philosophy. Where's the value that we have? How eternal is that value? With God's help, we can fortify this. Jesus, in Luke chapter 6, talks about individuals who are mistaken. They're blind leaders. And a If you'll stop and think about what's happened in America, you'll be able to back away and understand the crumbling of the values of this nation. When individuals who have gained notoriety become popular in this world, and they become those who verbalize the standards in this world, they're blind. And those people at the foot of the cross hurling accusations against Jesus were blind philosophers. That's all they were. They were trying to give direction to the people that were around, trying to direct the nation. When they opposed Christianity and they persecuted Christians beyond all measure, they were philosophers about life. Here's what life is all about. Here's how this situation ought to be dealt with. Those who are blind will fall in the ditch, but the tragedy is those who follow blind philosophers are headed for the exact same pit. We cannot afford. Whenever there is all of this ungodliness that is blatant in our society, to sit there with our lips silent. We must become proactive in relationship to this. And in the workplace and in every place that we find ourselves, it's time for children of God to stand up and say, would you like to know what Jesus says about this? Because the world believes, because we have been silent, that Jesus never said anything about homosexuality, as we showed in that lesson recently, that he adamantly did. Where do core values come from? From within me. What value? What I want to do. What I want to do, that's the value. I have a right to be happy, and because I have a right to be happy, then I am the determination about all of these things, about how I treat others, about the priorities in my life. I'll tell you, I'm going to figure it out for myself. Now, I may investigate some of these things, but ultimately, I am the one who's going to decide that. You know what Isaiah said? Verse 8 and 9, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts and ways higher than your thoughts and your ways. But look back at verse 7. It is not that man cannot understand them. It is that men will not embrace them. Now the value of them is that different. The value of them is the heavens are higher than the earth, so God's ways and thoughts are higher than our ways in value. But in verse 7 he says, let the wicked forsake his own way. Why? Because the ways of God are higher than the ways of men. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts. Why? Because the thoughts of God are so much higher than the thoughts of men. You know the verse, do you not? It is not in man that walks to direct his steps. And then here's one that needs to be made. And that is, there's a danger sometimes of us trying to decide what is right and what is wrong by following some brother in Christ. When I was in the college years and high school years and junior high years, sometimes I made the mistake of putting people who apparently were righteous on a pedestal they did not deserve to be on. I've done that as an adult also, haven't you? And whenever there are those individuals who turn out not to be what we expect them to turn out to be, it crushes us. That verse from Psalm 146 that we read in the beginning, put not your trust in the princes, because someday he's going to perish, and when he perishes, his plans fail. There's an interesting verse in the Bible. That is that which is found in 2 Timothy. We'll spend just a moment or two looking at this whenever he says, if we endure with him, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. And then Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, there are some people and there's a danger that you place too much emphasis and faith in people that it could impact you. And he mentions specifically two men. Verse 17 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, Hymenaeus and Philetus. We know nothing about these men except what is stated here and what is implied here. Obviously, they were members of the church. Obviously, they were men who had great influence in the church. And he says that those, their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying the resurrection is past already, and they overthrew the faith of some. Timothy, truth is not determined by an individual in whom you might have great admiration at some time in your life. One of the tragedies that I've experienced over these years is to see individuals who lose their faith because of the lack of faithfulness of preachers or lack of faithfulness of elders or lack of faithfulness of deacons or Bible class teachers or people to whom they looked up. I thank God for every godly man and woman that has impacted my life over all of these years. But my relationship to God is not based on my admiration of them. And yet sometimes it is. You and I need to have an appreciation that truth is upheld not because of he who proclaims the truth, but it is upheld because it is true. I remember as a young preacher, when the church was troubled over a particular matter, a student at Freed Hardeman, where I was attending, said, I will believe this as long as Brother So-and-so believes it. Well, Brother So-and-so was wrong. But with that philosophy and following after an individual, let me tell you this, church splits. And internal problems within congregations come because of an admiration and a following after of individuals. And Paul says, they've strayed from the faith. He then says, nevertheless, the foundation of God remains sure. We'll come back to verse 19 in just a minute. Let me ask you this. What's the source of real core values? The answer is Emmanuel. Does God understand the right treatment we ought to have of others? Does God, who made us, understand how to treat an enemy? Does God, who made us, understand what marriage is? Does God, who made us, understand what sexual perversion is? Does God, who made us, understand the matter of priorities in our lives? Does God, who made us, understand our purpose in this life? Here's the issue. Jesus lived on this earth. He either was the Son of God or he was not. And if you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, then embracing Him as Lord says, whatever He says is right, it's absolutely right, it's absolutely eternally right, it's absolutely eternally right, and it can never be destroyed. That's it. Young people, Christianity is right. Not because you've seen it lived in the lives of your parents and how blessed you are to have seen that. Christianity is right. And your willingness to die someday if your faith is challenged in relationship to this is right. Because Jesus, the Son of God, is the revelation of that truth. And so in our lives, not just young people, but all of us, in our view of that which is moral and that which is immoral, in view of that which is questionable and whether children of God ought to be involved in these things that are in a gray area or not, the view about what's really important in this world or is not important, every bit of it turns on the fact God lived on this earth. That's it. Go back once again to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and look at verse 19. Timothy, Hymenaeus and Philetus have left the truth. They have carried others away with them. Timothy, you're there in Ephesus, and there's all of that paganism worshiping Diana of the Ephesians and all of the Greek gods and goddesses. Timothy, you're living in a culture that is anti-God in almost every manifestation of it. Nevertheless, in spite of all of that, Timothy, in spite of everything that could be said in a preamble to what's found in verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. That's remarkable, isn't it? When all is said and done, the foundation of God stands, and there are two elements. Number one, the Lord knows those who are His. And it stands with this seal, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from evil. Our faith has been challenged and likely will be challenged more and more in the days that lie ahead and the years that lie ahead. The foundation that Emmanuel put on this earth is the only foundation that matters. Because, you see, the Lord knows that you're His child. Is there anything better than that? For the Creator of the world to know you and to call you my son, my daughter. Now the flip side of that is our responsibility to turn away from evil. And so we talk about those eternal foundational truths. Believing in Jesus is a foundation eternal truth. He who does not believe shall be condemned. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. That's an eternal truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. That's an eternal foundational truth. An eternal foundational truth is, I turn away from evil. I may struggle with it. I may be tempted by it, but I don't practice it. Because when I became a Christian, I turned my life around. And I turned it over to God. And without any shame, I can say I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, because Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. And then the most amazing thing, the eye of faith, the foundational truths of God, eternal foundational, absolutely eternal foundational truth of God is that we can be buried in baptism into His death and washed in the blood of Jesus so our sins can be forgiven. Have you done that? Jesus says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Have you done that? Acts 22:16 says, what are you waiting on? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Why you'd want to face God with the sins that's in your past life, I'll never be able to understand. Because the amazing thing is, when you do that, He adds you to His family, to His church, to the kingdom. You're His bride. And someday, He's coming back to receive His bride unto Himself. So I need, as a Christian, to don't give up on these values, but to be faithful until the day that I die. How can this church help you go to heaven? Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?